On this edition of Oski Talk, we recap the Illini's huge win over Duke at Cameron Indoor. We preview the Illini football team's game against Northwestern and the Bragging Rights basketball game, both on Saturday. Let's go.
This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is good.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch. Yes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone. A lot to get into, including an Illinois win over Duke. You don't get to say that all too often, so we'll get right into it with our front page. You guys knew where I was going with this. Leading off here on our front page, number 6 Illinois beat number 10 Duke at Duke in North Carolina at Cameron Indoor Stadium, 83-68, a huge win for Illinois in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, dominated really from start to finish defensively, offensively. Coach Underwood outcoached Coach K in that game. You don't hear that all too often. First year, I think Duke has had 2 non-conference home losses, I think ever, under Coach K, only their 11th non-conference home loss in total. Illinois got to him early, got to him all game long, and came away with a win.
Yeah, they were great. Just like you said, they kept that 10-point margin the whole game, and that really goes to show you how good this Illinois team is. I know coming off that Baylor loss, you kind of felt a little bit bad about this team, that they weren't there, but after winning this Duke game, you feel really good about it. And I know a lot of Illini fans will say, well, this Duke team probably isn't that good this year. You know, I don't really think there's any reason to degrade this win. I do think this Duke team will be pretty good this year. It just came down to great defense, really. They kept Matthew Hurt at bay. Johnson as well. He had a terrible night shooting. Hurt couldn't hit a three to save his life. And when you can't hit threes for this Duke team, they're going to be in trouble. They only had, I think, 5 that whole night, 5 for 22. Shooting from behind the arc is terrible. And a lot of those kind of came late from DJ Stewart, who got outplayed by Adam Miller, in my opinion. You know, Miller was pretty good starting this one. He basically took the 3 shots he was confident in, and then, you know, played a great role player and played great defense. So, you know, there was that part of this game. And at the end of the day, I just felt like their Illinois defense was the real deal that night. And the guard play was great. I felt like Trent Frazier kind of cleaned it up a little bit. Curbelo is going to have to work on his handles a little bit more. I don't know how many turnovers he ended up with. 5, I think it looks like. And Frazier had 5 too, which is a little bit uncharacteristic. But I thought he was a little bit better, and some of those turnovers just came with bad double teams. But Curbelo's got to work on his turnovers as well. But in general, I really, really was excited about this team. You have 6 guys scoring double digits. That's exactly what you need to win a basketball game. So you're really confident in this game. I could spend all day talking up Illinois, but this really was the perfect game for them.
Yeah, I mean, they did everything they wanted to. I mean, you started off with a statement win over a really good team on the road. Looks great to the selection committee. But also, like you said, it was a complete win. 6 guys in double figures. Obviously, you had Io, I think, his second career double-double, or third career double-double, second of the year, 18 points, 12 rebounds. And he also had 5 assists, a steal, a block. The dude was everywhere. And I think if you looked at that game, you would like, yeah, Io didn't play his best game. He didn't play his best game, and he had 18, 12, and 5. That just goes to show you how good of a player he is. Coburn had another 8 rebounds, 13 points. He was solid. I'd like to see a little bit more out of him. It still kind of feels like he has those butterfingers underneath the hoop, but he was spelled brilliantly by Georgi Bashanishvili. Another strong game from him in double digits, back-to-back games against top 10 teams. The progress from Georgi from last year to this year, he looks a lot more like freshman Georgi, and the Illini are feeding off of his energy, which is great to see. And defensively, they really were shutting down Duke. Like you said, 5 of 22 from behind the three-point line. If you're going to beat Illinois, you have to be able to shoot the three well, I feel like, because the driving lanes against those guards with Kofi in the middle aren't just going to be there. So you're going to need to shoot well to beat this Illinois team, and Duke really didn't. And then you look at Illinois shooting-wise, 7 of 11 from the three-point line, much better than the Baylor game. And then 18 of 24 free throws, really solid from Illinois. So that's, I mean, a great place to build off of, a great win here against Duke. And like we talked about a little bit, didn't seem like Coach K was too happy about it.
No, he wasn't. I guess I've never really realized that he is apparently a big sore loser. I know there's a big meme going around talking about how he said at the beginning of the year that the NCAA can't go without another tournament. And then after that loss, he says, oh, we really shouldn't be playing, though. So it's like, that's interesting. And I'm paraphrasing. I'm sure he didn't really mean it to be, hypocritical. But yeah, that was interesting. And I want to go back to your point about Kofi a little bit there. I feel like he kind of got screwed a little bit. There was a couple calls that felt like should have went his way.
Brutal refereeing on both sides. The officiating was terrible.
Right. And if you want to beat Kofi, Duke did it pretty well. I mean, you foul him and he can't make the free throws. He's got to be able to finish. He's got to be way stronger than he was in this game. He has to finish those points and get the and one. He's a 60% shooter from the free throw line, and that's just not good enough for the rest of the season. So he's got to be able to finish a little bit stronger. I want to mention this on the offensive side as well. Talking about offensive rebounds, I mean, Duke really had great second chance points. I felt like Illinois could have rebounded a little bit better on the defensive end. Duke really would have probably lost by 20-25. And on our end, we only ended up with 4 offensive rebounds. That's something I feel like that should change. I know it's tough when you start the 4 guards to get those offensive rebounds, and Georgie is pretty much the guy who, in my opinion, has been the leader in that department. But when you have those 4 guards, I think specifically a guy like Demonte Williams has to try and pull down a couple more on the offensive side. So that's something, another thing I wanted to add as well. Duke didn't really give up that many second chance opportunities, and that is something that I think Illinois has to work a little bit harder on.
Yeah, and you mentioned Demonte Williams. I think he's 10 of 14 from the three-point line this season. His shot is going to be so important for Illinois, and such I don't know how you would say it, because it's not like an X factor, but it's like it's what puts them over from a good team to a great team. I feel like his production makes them so much better on the offensive end. And like you said, George has really been kickstarting the offensive rebounds. Last year, it was, Alan Griffin and Andres Feliz that really were hustling, getting those boards, extending possessions, and we haven't seen it yet. I imagine, like you said, Demonte will get involved. I also think Adam Miller's athleticism can play into the offensive glass a little bit more to extend those possessions. Like you said, they only had 4 offensive rebounds in the game. You obviously like to see that grow a little bit, but, I mean, we're just kind of picking at him now. It was a really strong game, really good effort, and I want to keep talking a little bit about like what Coach K said. I thought, you paraphrased it, but that's pretty much how it went. Before the season, he said we need to play. They've had a little bit of a bumpy start, cemented by an ass whooping from Illinois at home on national TV, and then he says, maybe it's not the safest thing to be playing. And it's kind of funny because it seemed like Billis was on his side once the game got out of hand a little bit too, if you were listening to the game. And obviously, there's part of it that you do have to agree with. These aren't essential workers, but they're being treated like it, not getting paid at all. But at the same time, they knew the sacrifices and they want to be playing basketball. So, I mean, there's 2 sides to the coin, of course, but I don't think the focus should be there. I think it's got to be how good of a game Illinois played.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I really haven't been – I mean, you and I talked a little bit about what Bill has said at the beginning of the year, just about whether or not they should be playing. And it really centered around football because more or less you and I wanted to watch basketball this year because we knew we had a good team. And I agree a little bit with what Bill has said. I know a lot of people are upset that – he went on so long about it, but I mean, it's basketball and it's college basketball. Commentators are going to ramble on a little bit. I mean, everyone's favorite commentator is Bill Walton, and he talks about the game for probably 10% of it, of the entire game. So, like, they're going to do that. So, you can't really get mad at Bills for doing that. And I think Bills had a point. You know, these guys, obviously they want to be playing, but they are going through something that is extremely difficult. It's extremely stressful. So, it's something that we need to reconsider. And, you know, that goes back to just pay them, really. In my opinion, that whole problem, what Bills was talking about and having these guys play during a pandemic gets solved by just paying them. Which is something I've been about for a long time now. So it's, you know, there's that too. And back to Coach K, I really thought the worst part of the whole Coach K thing was, and because I'm sure he's not trying to be hypocritical, and we're probably overanalyzing it, but he didn't like wave back to Brad Underwood after that game. Underwood kind of like gave the COVID like good game, and Coach K just immediately started going to the locker room. So, it's, you know, it's bad. It wasn't very classy of Coach K. And, yeah, I guess I didn't really realize he's a sore loser, but there you go.
Yeah, he just doesn't lose that much. But, you know, they talked to Brad Underwood after the game, and he said, you know, I know there's no fans, but it's still Cameron Indoor. It's still Duke. It's a great win. And we'll hear from Brad Underwood and Io DeSumo a little bit later in the show, but we're going to shift gears into football. Last game here scheduled in the regular season for Illinois against Northwestern in Evanston, a little rivalry week, a week after, or 2 weeks after Thanksgiving for Illinois here, but big game against Northwestern coming up. They come in ranked 15th in the country, I believe, the highest they've been ranked in a game against Illinois since 2001. 5-1 already clinched a Big Ten West win. They'll be playing in the Big Ten tournament next week. A lot of moving pieces in this game, but it does look like it's going to be played. It's a huge game for Lovie and his tenure. And what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is once again Lovie's biggest game. I think if he wins this one, it seems to be like that because basically he's trying to save his job right now. That's what it comes down to. Northwestern's probably already preparing for Ohio State, but they're going to want to win this game. It is a rivalry game. Illinois is in that weird spot, I feel like, at the end of the year where they could really use another win to get into the bowl, make a bowl game, but it just seems very unlikely that they're going to win this one. I am not very confident in winning this one at all. I've really thought that Northwestern has been almost unstoppable this year. I mean, obviously we watched the Wisconsin game, which was great. You know, Peyton Ramsey has been a pretty serviceable quarterback at Northwestern. You know, Drake Anderson and Isaiah Bowser have been two very, very good running backs for them all year. But really it comes down to the extremely, extremely good defense led by Patty Fisher there, who has been electric. So it, you know, this team is very, very good defensively. I think we probably see Isaiah Williams again in this one. Isaiah, I feel like after that Iowa game, you just can't really go back to Brandon Peters. He didn't really bring a lot. You gotta look more towards the future of this program. Isaiah brings a little bit of a different look to this team that I think could potentially confuse Northwestern a little bit more. They really haven't played an offense that we can run with Isaiah Williams, so that's exciting. And with a guy of the future, I just feel like it just makes sense to kind of put him out there right now. But defense is going to have to be very, very good in this game if they're going to stop you know, Peyton Ramsey, Bowser, and Anderson. It's kind of back to the Nebraska game where you just kind of feel like this offense is decent enough to win games, but if you could stop them, you could really force them into bad situations, which is what I thought Michigan State really did in their game. Their defense was excellent, and then they just kind of let Rocky Lombardi, quarterback for the Spartans, kind of control the game. So if you're the Illini, I think you look towards that MSU game as your example of how to beat Northwestern.
Yeah, I think, similar to the Nebraska game, I think it's one of those games that Illinois sort of matches up well in. I don't think they're as good a team as Northwestern, but the matchup isn't brutal. But I think there's a lot of moving parts that kind of give Illinois the edge in a certain sense. Illinois needs this game way more than Northwestern does. On Northwestern's schedule, they're looking at Ohio State for the Big Ten title game. This game really doesn't matter at all. They win the West no matter what happens in this game. I don't know how much they care about the Land of Lincoln trophy when the Big Ten title is on the line in just a week. So, you know, maybe you catch Northwestern sort of sleeping on Illinois, preparing for Ohio State already. Been a long time since they played. Last time out, they lost. You know, maybe you catch them in a bit of a rut, maybe a little bit of rust on the offense and a little bit, something along those lines that could kind of give Illinois the edge. But like you said, there's certain things that Illinois needs to do really well in this game to win. Those two things for me are running the ball and taking the football away on the defensive side. Running the ball becomes a lot easier when Isaiah Williams is in the game. I think he's a much harder quarterback to game plan for and defend, especially if he can make some of the throws. So like you said, I'd probably go with Isaiah Smith as well. Isaiah Williams if I were Lovie Smith as well. But then for Northwestern's offense, they actually rank near the bottom in the conference in efficiency. They're not an incredibly strong offensive team, similar to Nebraska. So I think if you can confuse them, if you can make them make mistakes and take advantage of those mistakes, Illinois sort of has a shot to win this game.
Yeah, and I really hope that you're right there in potentially winning this game. But I really do think that this game matters a lot to the Northwestern guys. I know it matters for the Illini that this game is our biggest rival in football. And you never want to lose to Northwestern. And guys on the Illini haven't beaten Northwestern in a long time. And especially after last year having a good team and them having a bad team and then losing again. So I do think that it does matter. I think both teams will be playing pretty hard in this one. But I just don't see, even saying that the run game is important, I just don't see our run game beating this Northwestern defense. I can't say how good this team is. They are absolutely excellent on defense. They've held their opponents to basically 20 points, except for obviously the loss in every single game. So they are an electric defense. I can't see Illinois pulling away regardless of who they're playing at quarterback. And I have low expectations for this Illini team, especially after losing to Iowa. I feel like there's probably going to be, you know, a little animosity towards Lovie, despite obviously when I'm playing this game, just kind of ready to end out the year and see where they go from there.
You want to get into some predictions?
Yeah, I'll let you go first. I mean, I'll go first actually, because I'm okay with being the downer on this one. I do think Illinois is going to lose this one by a pretty substantial amount. I'm going to have Northwestern winning 31-7. You know, I don't have a lot to say about it. It's just not the matchup Illinois needs, and we're kind of going into this game almost expecting for us to have a new coach by January. I would be pretty surprised if Lovie Smith, actually I wouldn't be too surprised if Lovie Smith maintained his job just because of COVID. The $1 million buyout is kind of expensive. But I think if you're, I will say this, and I really didn't want to get into Lovie Smith's job this week, but I will say this. If you are Josh Whitman, you can structure the next head coach to get $4 million in his first year to pay off that $1 million or even $3 million, that $1 million buyout that you're going to have to owe Lovie this year, and then structure the contract to obviously gain increase in amount the next couple of years. So it's possible that he gets let go even during the COVID year, but that is going to be a factor. So I think this will be the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from, and I probably think Northwestern wins this game, but I'm going to go Illinois 26-20. I think I kind of hyped myself up with a lot of those maybes that I mentioned earlier, and you never know. Football's a crazy game. Crazier things have happened. It's certainly possible that Illinois wins this game. They'd love to get that win over Northwestern for these seniors who likely aren't going to have their bowl opportunity this year. And they could potentially come back next year, of course. But beating Northwestern is a big deal for Illinois, and it's kind of like this is their bowl game. So I'm going to take them leaving it all out there with a 26-20 win in Evanston over Northwestern.
Interesting take there. I hope you're right, man. They got another week of football. Let's not forget we got championship weekend too. So
obviously we're not in the championship. Who would we end up playing?
I think we'll probably, you know, I was looking at this literally a second ago, just to kind of check in. I'm thinking it's probably Michigan State or Michigan. Probably Michigan, because they'll be 2-4 and we'll be 2-5. Maybe Penn State in 2. We'll see. We'll kind of see. There's actually a lot of teams in the mix. It could be anyone from Michigan State, Penn State, or Rutgers. So that'll be
little Lovie Smith against Harbaugh to see who gets kicked out of college football.
I think it'll be who gets kicked out of college football faster.
Okay, there we go. We'll see if that ends up being the matchup. But with that, we're going to get into our next segment, Say What?
Say what?
So first, we're going to hear from Brad Underwood after the Illini's win against Duke, talking about how Georgie has stepped up so far this season.
Well, Georgie's playing absolutely phenomenal, and we need him on the floor. And we see all of Georgie's tools. And you know, here he is throwing a lob pass against the press. He's such a good passer. He's scoring in the post. He's playing with tremendous confidence. I love him defensively right now because he's talking and he's energetic, and we're a better team on the defensive side when he's out there. So we'll see it. We'll see that some. Yeah, it's matchup based, and we've got enough stuff in offensively where we can utilize a lot of that.
Yeah, I liked what Underwood had to say here. Georgie seems to be back to where he was last year, which is critical. I think that Georgie really had that great freshman year and took a step back because of Kofi, almost just because he wasn't the premier big on this team. And you know, Kofi steps in and kind of takes over Georgie's role. It was kind of weird where he fit in, but as a guy coming off being the sixth man, I really think Georgie fits that role very well. When Kofi gets into foul trouble, I think Georgie this year can potentially be the guy who could come in and fill his role and hopefully put a couple points up on the board when you're kind of feeling down and the team's a little bit disrupted by Kofi's foul trouble. So I'm glad Georgie's playing the way he is.
Yeah, they absolutely needed it from him, and the energy brings cannot go unstated as well. So big things from Georgie so far this season, like you hope to see it continue. Now how about we take a listen to Io talking about how his mindset changes at the end of the game compared to the beginning of the game and how he just lets the game come to him.
It's just a natural instinct that I always instilled in me. I just had that type of game where, you know, I just let the game come to me. I just play off my instincts, just play off my feel, you know, had that mindset where I get my teammates involved, kind of how like Luka plays, like Luka Doncic, his mindset, like LeBron mindset. Not really, you know, I really don't have to come out with the first five shots, let the game come to me, let my instinct just play off that.
Yeah, I love Io on this quote. I feel like this is pretty accurate of his game, at least recently, and I love that shot at the end of over DJ Stewart. I tweeted out this one is for the state of Illinois. You know, shout out the guys who stay in the state of Illinois, because I really felt like, despite Stewart scoring more points than Miller, I felt like Miller outplayed him, which is funny because it makes you feel like Coach K missed out on the wrong Illinois kid. So yeah, you like to see that, just kind of you know, you want Illinois boys to stay in Illinois and play for Illinois. So good for Io for taking that last shot, and it's true of his game. He gets better as the game kind of finishes. I feel like guys just get tired of guarding him. You know, he's all over the floor. He's a guy you know could cut to the hoop at any moment and make a play. So you just get tired of him, and that's when he really, really, really starts hammering you. So we'll see what he can do against Mizzou too. That'll be interesting on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's another Chicago guard matchup with Io Pinson. And then Xavier Pinson on the Mizzou side. Not obviously the five-star or four-star recruit that DJ Stewart was, but still, I think played with Io and with Mac Irvin, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, Io's special, man. And that last shot, I think that was my favorite part of the entire game. It was like it is okay as he played. He wasn't great. I mean, obviously the numbers were fantastic, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, but you'd like to see him being that killer scorer a lot, and he really wasn't. They spread the ball around fine. He didn't need to be, but that was his showing the country, I'm a killer. And even though it wasn't in the last seconds, that was a big bucket. And you know, he really does let the game come to him. He never gets rattled. I think the closest we've ever seen to him getting rattled was the second half of that Baylor game when nothing was falling for him. But he even said that Baylor game helped them, their mindset for this game, and they really looked like a much better team top to bottom.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And you know, talking about this Mizzou game, I really do hope that it gets televised. Right now, they have no television station. I bet it'll be the SEC Network, which sucks. But I was hoping ESPNU maybe picks it up late, or Big Tech Network or something. Missouri's got to get its stuff together. They've been doing a terrible job so far not getting this game hyped.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Bragging rights is obviously a huge thing. Io said we owe them one, which will be nice. I mean, they've strung together a few good wins. Beating Oregon on the road, I think, is a huge win for them, especially with Oregon being ranked. Another good one. I mean, Pinson's been pretty good this year. They're obviously not as talented as Illinois, and they weren't last year, but they beat us last year. So Illinois really needs to think they need to blow them out.
They do. I agree. There's so many Illinois boys on this team, which you hate, and guys that we missed out on. There's Mark Smith, Xavier Pinson, which is just a bummer because he's a great, great basketball player, even though he plays for Mizzou. We did miss out on him. And then Jeremiah Tillman, who just left for no reason. So this year you really want to beat him up. So I hope we beat him by 20. But realistically, I think we'll probably beat him by 10.
Yeah, I've got us winning too. Pinson is he's got, like, he plays the way Curbelo plays. And I went to school with him for, he's our age, obviously. I went to school with him for 2 years. Then he transferred to Simeon for the final two, which is really when he started getting recruited and taken off. But, I mean, he was special. He makes passes that you're like, how the heck did he even think to give it to that guy? So, but he's also probably never went up against a defense like Illinois is going to play against them this week. So I'm excited to watch that matchup, excited to watch the game. I've got Illinois winning 82-66. 16-point right. Win, not quite 20.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to have Illinois winning this one 85-75. I think they control it pretty well this whole game. So Hopefully they win this.
All right. That'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. Saturday's a big day for Illini sports. Northwestern football in the morning, Mizzou basketball in the evening. Hopefully it's an Illini sweep. But for now, that'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. For Patrick Catazone, I'm Anthony Pasquale, ILL.
I.